Good day, everyone. Welcome again to the Wings Radio program, where we hope you will be uplifted and encouraged by what you hear. We want to inspire you through Christ to fly in the power of God's Word through the challenging times in your lives. Be sure to visit the blog page for prophetic words, updates, and godly inspiration at www.wingsofprophecy.com. Now here is your host, Glenda Linkus.
Hello, believers. Welcome to the Wings Radio Show. I'm your host, Glenda Linkus, and the title of today's message is Blooms, Not Unbelief, How to Have Mustard Seed Faith. So let's talk about faith. What is faith? Faith is the invisible power of pure belief to receive the promise of God that forms inside your spirit when you refuse to believe the world and you choose instead to believe God. Now, that's my own definition. When you resist the circumstances, those high and lofty things that exalt themselves against the knowledge of God, faith is a seed inside of you from His Spirit, the Holy Spirit, that grows as you water and nurture it, the same faith that dies if you doubt or if you waver. Faith is kind of like the miracle-working DNA power inside a seed that makes it able to reproduce after its kind. The definition I found for faith is complete trust or confidence in someone or something. Complete trust or confidence. Just recently, I found some flowering shrubs at a store for $3 a piece. Living in a rental property completely void of landscape beauty, I couldn't resist buying a few to brighten up my yard. With permission from the landlord who owns the place where I dwell, I did some research to find out what conditions would nurture the shrubs so they would show forth their magnificent beauty over the hot, dry summer months in North Texas. Armed with knowledge of their needs and ways, and the belief I could help them grow to their full potential, I set about mixing a special soil to counteract the Houston black clay soil, which is really sticky and dense, that runs through the area where I live. If you set plants directly into the sticky Houston black clay, the clay compacts around them so tightly it suffocates them. It literally suffocates them because no oxygen can get through to them, and they wither up and die. Making sure to put everything around the roots of those shrubs and bushes so they could become well-rooted, I went about planting them, rooting them in rich soil, and mulching to protect the area over them so it did not become grassy like what was around it. Our faith is a lot like gardening. We need to keep the weeds of doubt and worldliness out, and the Word of God in. We need to surround ourselves in the precious, holy Word of God. Right now, as I type these notes, I am listening to a Christian radio station out of Dallas that feeds my spirit while I work. We need to keep the weeds of worldly counsel out of our lives, those friends and co-workers that, though they mean well, will give us bad counsel out of their worldly oil because they don't know the Word. Psalm 1:1, Blessed is the man that walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. So we need to surround ourselves with the fertile Word of God that is able to renew our minds to God's character and His ways that will keep us focused on His promises. Psalm 1 verse 2, And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth its fruit in its season. Its leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he does shall prosper. Could the reason so many do not prosper, meaning that they don't have enough to make ends meet and moreover to help those in need, could that be because they do walk in the counsel of the ungodly? I think we have to ask ourselves this. To be like a tree planted by the rivers means to be a tree firmly rooted, unmovable from its position. We've all heard the parable of the mustard seed, found in Matthew 13, verses 31 and 32. Another parable put he forth unto them, saying, The kingdom of heaven is like to a grain of mustard seed, which a man took and sowed in his field, which indeed is the least of all seeds, But when it is grown, it is the greatest among herbs, and becometh a tree, so that the birds of the air come and lodge in the branches thereof." The mustard seed is very small, but I don't think that was the only point Jesus was trying to make in this parable. The mustard plant can grow up to about 15 feet high and 15 feet wide, and they spread very quickly, like in the Middle East, where they grow like weeds. But mustard seeds were considered something of an unclean thing in biblical times, being mixed with many other things. The interesting thing that I found about a mustard seed is you can actually plant it on top of another different kind of a seed, and it won't graft in or blend. It keeps its own properties 100%. It stays true to itself, unlike some other seeds. And ground-up mustard powder is used as a spice, but it is also used for its healing properties. Mustard plasters have been used for hundreds of years to bring healing. In Matthew 17, verse 20, and Jesus said to them, "Because of your unbelief," the disciples had gone to him and said, "Why could we not cast that demon out?" And he said, "Because of your unbelief, for verily I say to you, if you have faith as a grain of mustard seed, you shall say to this mountain, 'Remove here to yonder place,' and it shall remove, and nothing shall be impossible to you." Okay, now let's go back to our original verses and think about this for a minute. Faith like a grain of mustard seed, okay? Just think about this for a minute. If I have faith as a mustard seed, then no matter where the Lord plants me, no matter where you take me, I will remain true to who I am. I will remain the same. A mustard seed, if you plant it on top of another seed, does not change. It still will only produce one kind of a plant. You can't hybrid it with something else like that. If you transplant me to another place, I'm going to be the same. I'm going to be the same at work. I'm going to be the same at home. I'm going to be the same with whether I'm with my husband, with my friends, with my family. I'm not going to change. Why? Because that's who I am. Okay? You can't change who I am by where you put me, because I'm strong in who I am. Jesus was very strong in who he was. No matter where you put Jesus, he didn't change. They put him up on the cross, he didn't change, even unto death. That's important for us, y'all. This is the end of time, the end of the period of grace. We have to be strong in our beliefs. We have to be strong in who we are and what we are about. If I take one Christian and I put them in another, let's say another work position, move them to somewhere else, and they change who they are to adapt to their surroundings instead of staying true to Christ, then that's a person who wavers. They're blown back and forth by different winds. And that means they won't receive anything from the Lord, right? So the disciples could not cast out the spirit. He said, because of your unbelief. Your unbelief. The part of you that does not believe. Those disciples were put into a different situation, and suddenly they had unbelief. Jesus was telling them, if you don't have this unbelief, you can do anything. Nothing will be impossible to you. You can make whole mountains move if you don't have that unbelief. So their unbelief came up because they were moved into different circumstances. Now, the world is changing at a very rapid pace. If you watch the news at all, you know that. If you read your Bible, you know that that's coming. And you know it's going to get a whole lot worse. If your faith can be changed by your circumstances or by where you are moved to, you're in big trouble. Can I just tell you that? And you better get to strengthening those roots. Okay, now, the parable of the mustard seed, I believe, illustrates another point. When the gospel first began with Jesus, it was very small. And there were only a few disciples and Jesus in the beginning. And it's the same with the kingdom of God within us. It starts out real small. Just real tiny bit of faith in there that, okay, there is a God. And so if that's true, then I need to check all this out, right? But it grows as you go on and you nurture it. Now, if I plant a seed in unbelief, let's say I go out there and I plant one of those shrubs in unbelief. I don't really believe it's going to grow and it's going to bloom, but I throw it out there. So I throw it out there and I leave it alone because I don't believe. I don't believe it's going to grow. So I don't nurture it. I don't believe. I don't water it. I don't fertilize it. I don't do anything. What's going to happen? It's going to die. The weeds are going to rise up and choke it out. Remember the parable of the sower of the word? So the kingdom of God within us starts out extremely small. Remember how small your faith was at first? I remember one of my cousins who preached at his church then, that he had then in Lake Dallas years ago, back in like 2000 and that 2001. One time I needed prayer for a friend, and I called his house, and I think it was a Saturday, and his wife was very perturbed with me. I didn't understand then why, but I do now. So many pull on you when you're in ministry. They pull on your faith. They want your oil. They don't want to go through anything to get their own oil. And sometimes people just have questions, and it's our job to answer those. I'm not saying it's not, but I think she was just tired and worn out. They had too many people pulling on them. And when your faith is new like that, it's so tiny, you will always look to someone else to do your praying for you. Why? Because you don't have faith that God will hear and answer your prayers. All which serve to illustrate and confirm the very large growth and increase of the gospel. At first, just a few disciples, and now millions of Christians worldwide. And you know, the word goes on to say that, you know, the mustard seed grows up and it becomes a big tree, and then the birds of the air come and lodge in the branches. And you know, birds are small and defenseless. They're exposed to danger all the time. And for them to be able to go and take refuge and sit and sing in the branches of that mustard tree is a beautiful thing to think about. It illustrates the shelter and the repose and the blessedness of the gospel to us. The Lord is our refuge. He is our fortress. He is our defender. So let's go back to talking about unbelief. You know, as I watch these shrubs grow, I will be watching for any weeds that poke up through the mulch, and I'll be getting those weeds out of there. Why? Because the weeds choke out the growth of what I want to grow, what I planted. It is the same way in our hearts. There are weeds that grow up in our gardens. In Mark chapter 4, Jesus taught the parable of the soils to his disciples. He said that spiritual fruitfulness or barrenness depends upon the type of soil that receives the seed of God's word in our hearts. It's what's in the soil that determines what grows on the bush. And Jesus warned about the choking influence of thorns that squeeze the life out of fruit-producing seedlings, okay? There are thorns in our lives sometimes. The first weed that Jesus warned about was the worries and anxieties of life. A worry or an anxiety is something that draws you in a different direction. It's a distraction. Do you have things that distract you? I know I have things that distract me at times. Satan works exceedingly hard to distract every child of God. He wants to distract us from prayer, and he wants to distract us from the Word of God. Those are the two main things that he will work to distract you from. And of course, worship. So I guess three things: the Word of God, prayer, and worship. Those are the three things that will avail the most to you in spiritual growth. Did you know that he specifically planned distractions for you today? It's up to you to decide whether he will succeed, just like it's up to me to decide whether he will succeed in distracting me from what I need to do today. What kinds of things pull you in a different direction, away from God's word or away from prayer or worship? For me, it's often busyness, a full schedule of good things that can crowd out even better things. Time in the morning spent in prayer and with the scripture are of just imperative for me. I have to have my time with God. But I think everyone can be distracted by urgent things. If an emergency comes up, you have to stop and handle the emergency. You just have to be careful that Satan doesn't make an emergency out of everything. Some people get distracted by what's so-and-so going to think about me, or preoccupied with, you know, getting their family's approval with how they spend their time. We don't want to be like that, y'all. One of the weeds that we have to deal with are the deceitfulness of riches. Well, not all of us have to deal with it, but it's out there. Wealth can be a deceptive weed that can take over your life, and it can choke out your responsiveness to God. Wealth makes you feel like you're safe and you don't need God. It also will make you more afraid and more concerned about what others think of you, because you run in different circles then, when you have great wealth as opposed to when you have no money. We must beware of all kinds of weeds, but beware of prosperous times, because they can be deadly. They can numb your heart's response to God's direction for your life. We cry out to God most when we need Him, when we're facing a circumstance that we can't navigate on our own. This is a word for somebody. You have been trying to navigate on your own. A river that is running through your life. He said it's a river. He literally called it a river that you cannot navigate. That word river, he's saying, is the key to whether this word is for you. That you cannot navigate this river. In pridefulness, you have refused to cry out to Him and hand it over. He said, if you do not hand it over, sir, you will drown in that river. I have discovered when I'm typing notes for a show that if I get a powerful word for somebody while I'm typing the notes, then I know for sure I have the right message. God has shown me that. Another weed that will grow up in our garden is the desire for other things. There are many things in the world always competing for the soil of your heart. The world is always wanting to plant its worldly ideas in your head. Turn on the TV and watch all the, not only programs, but all the ads, the constant commercials. Even on radio, there's a lot of commercials. If you meditate on all that stuff, it'll eventually make its way into your heart and it will choke out the Word of God. Some weeds are the addictions in our lives. They're the ones that are easy to see: gambling, addiction to drugs, sexual lust, pornography. But there are others that are not so easy to identify. What about food? A larger than normal desire for food, or constantly thinking about food. Clothing, jewelry, a new car, a higher paying job, your favorite hobby or sports. I've seen many men who worshiped their favorite sports way more than they worship any God. Even where we live, a particular neighborhood or what kind of house you live in can be this kind of weed. And in Dallas, like in all big cities, there are certain neighborhoods that are the prestigious neighborhoods. I used to know someone that worked night and day in their career because they wanted to live in this particular neighborhood in Dallas. And that person succeeded in attaining that goal. But when they got there, there was no one with them. And that's a really sad thing to have happen. We need to be careful that we don't covet things. When it's okay to have a desire for something. It's okay to enjoy a nice house or a nice neighborhood. It's not okay if it becomes your life. God is our life, okay? Any desire that drives us, that controls our thinking or preoccupies our minds all the time, is a weed that will choke out every bit of spiritual growth we have any chance of attaining. If you cannot hear the voice of the Lord leading you, it may be because you have been following another god, an idol, such as that. There's a young woman listening to this broadcast, and you desperately want to be able to hear God. And He is saying to you now, woman of God, there is an idol in your heart on the throne where I belong. You have allowed, and He said this way, that man to take my place, and you will not hear me as long as he is there. That is a relationship that you know, woman of God, you're supposed to have already gotten out of, but you have clung to it because there is something in that relationship that you need. God is saying, let it go. Let it go. He'll fill your needs. Just let it go. The worst thing about the weeds in our hearts is their potential for multiplication. You know, as I watch my little flowering shrubs grow, if I let one weed grow and just leave it, let's say that, you know, I just sit there and watch it go, yeah, I'll get that later. It's going to multiply, and in 2 weeks, I'll probably have 50 in its place because things grow really good in Texas. Demons who attach to us are a lot like weeds. One gets in, then holds the gate open and invites all his buddies in. Before you know it, you've got a stronghold you can't get free from without help. Letting just one weed grow free in your life can result in a crop failure. Weeds left unattended can cut the harvest by as much as 40 to 60%. 40 to 60%. Do you want to lose 60% of your spiritual harvest, of your blessings, of anything? I don't. I have found there are these few simple steps to getting my shrubs to create a profusion of floral harvest for me. I need the right plant. That is the right seed. If I don't seed the right plant, then I'm not going to get what I want, right? The right seed, in the spiritual sense, is the best scripture to plant for your situation, for what you need, what you're believing for. I'm going to write about that some in the prayer book that we're working on right now, which scriptures I pray for which situations and that sort of thing. Number two, I need the right soil mix. I have to dig a hole and get all the weeds and the wrong soil out. That's the worldly stuff. the unbelief and all that, and drop my shrub in there and fill it around with good soil. Okay? That means, in a spiritual sense, I've got to take all the worldly stuff out of my heart. I've got to stop desiring the things of the world more than I desire God. If I need a car, I don't think God has any problem me asking for a good car that's dependable, okay? He might have a problem with me asking for a Cadillac Escalade or something like that, but for just asking for a nice car if I need one, he's got no problem with that. It's not the things that you have that God has a problem with. It's when those things have you that he has a problem. So we want to get that out of our hearts to make room for God in there, y'all. Okay, so we get the right soil in there. Okay, we're going to nurture that word, nurture that seed after we get it planted. Then I want to put all that good soil around my shrub, and I'm going to mulch over the top of it with wood chips to guard it from more weeds coming in. I want it to produce what I want and none of what I don't want. I want blooms, not unbelief. If you let just anything come into your heart and drop down in there through what you watch, what you listen to, where you go, and if you don't get those weeds out of there and get the word in there, then you're going to have a heart that's just full of a bunch of spiritual darkness, just a bunch of weeds growing in there. And when things get really bad in the world, you're going to have nothing to draw on to help you. And you won't always be able to email a prayer request because there will be no power. At some point, the grid will go down and probably not come back up. And we won't even have communication with other people, y'all, other than the people directly around us. And now is the time to prepare for that. Bibles will become outlawed at some point. God showed me that decades ago. Bibles will be against the law. The only word you will have then is the word that's already written on your heart. And the way you get it written there is you put it there. Okay? You listen to it or you read it and study it. You put it there. And how are you going to survive? If you don't prepare now, how are you going to survive then? I desperately want y'all to understand this. It is my job to warn you. And I desperately want you to understand the gravity of what's coming. I heard on the internet, I read on the internet that Billy Graham's daughter is even sounding the warning bell. That judgment's coming and it's going to be very bad. So y'all, everybody's seeing it. You got to heed the warning or realize what you're in for if you don't. Father God, I lift every listener in the sound of my voice to you right now. Father, I pray that you would help us to prepare the soil in our hearts. Help us to spend more and more time receiving your precious word, Lord God, and protecting it from the weeds of the world that would choke it out. We need to be ready, Lord. We need to be ready to walk in your ways before other people, especially in those times, but even now, we should already be doing that. And we need to have a storehouse of your word in our spirits, Lord, to pull on in those times when we won't have access to the things that we have now. We have access to your word in every possible form in America right now. We need to be ready, Lord. Please help us to get ready, Lord, because we can't see when or what all is coming. Only you know all of that. Father, I thank you for the listeners. I praise you for the privilege of bringing this program to them every week. I pray, Father, that you would touch and bless this word, that it would spring up in their hearts at times when they need it, that it would remind them, Lord, to spend time with you and in your word. Thank you, Lord, for so many privileges that you give us. Thank you for your word. And most of all, thank you for Jesus. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. God bless you. Thank you so much for listening. I hope you have a great week.
Thank you so much for tuning in to hear Glenda Linkous on Wings Radio. We hope that you've been encouraged and inspired in your daily walk with Christ. You can find more of Glenda's talks on her YouTube channel, Texas Author and the Number One. You can contact Glenda by email at wingsofprophecy@gmail.com or by mail at Glenda Linkous, P.O. Box 127, Princeton, Texas, 75407. Wings Radio is a non-denominational program and is not affiliated with any other church or nonprofit organization.
Followers of Jesus sense something big is about to happen. How we all would like a tangible sign happening now, which directly connects the timing to His return. There is, revealed in a 2,500-year-old prophecy to America and explained in my new book, America, Isaiah is Warning, God's Judgment is Coming, is that connection. Available where books are ordered and at americasjudgment.com. America, Isaiah is Warning.
Have you ever gone through a period in your life where it felt like someone just yanked the rug out from under you? Or you woke up one day and it felt like your life was just falling apart? Every Christian must pass through the desert on the way to their promised land. This is what I call the wilderness experience. Wilderness experiences are often times of great uncertainty and change. They are also times of great discomfort where you feel the heat and the pressure are on. And everywhere you turn, it seems like there's no place to run for comfort. The Lord took me in and out of a number of wilderness experiences, and then He had me write a book called The Wilderness Companion. And what it is a roadmap through these desert times in your life. It's kind of a how-to do and don't manual of what He taught me and things He spoke to me during the wilderness times that I went through. Sometimes wilderness times are times of physical challenge where you're ill. Sometimes they are financial challenges. Many of the ones I went through were financial challenges where I had no work and no money. Or times when God just took me out of work and put me in a place where, you know, I couldn't find a job or whatever. But the Wilderness Companion will help you if you are in a wilderness time or if you want to read the book for in preparations for the next time. To find out why you've been led into the wilderness, find out what the biggest hindrance is to receiving the provision you need in the wilderness, because very often wilderness times are times of a lack of provision. Find out what the seven temptations of the wilderness are. Now, these were revealed to me straight from God. And drastically cut the time you spend in the wilderness by teaching you how to partner with God for His purposes for you in the desert seasons. This is a book you don't want to miss. The Wilderness Companion by Glenda Lomax is available on Amazon.com or in the Wings of Prophecy bookstore in print form or Kindle version, www.wingsofprophecy.com.